What were you playing, Ron and Brian?
Go to Mexico.
What's that?
Ron and Brian go to Mexico.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 31 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the Holmes to my Watson, Brian. Brian, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right, though. I still think that it's more appropriate that I'm Watson and you are Holmes.
You think so? I mean, yeah. I guess I am more of the analytical one. You are more of the shoot from the hip rebel. By the way, are you watching Sherlock on Netflix from BBC America?
No, I lost faith in the franchise when they decided that we needed to do a movie with
Robert Downey Jr.
Morton Downey, and when they wanted to do a comedy with Morton Downey Jr. And you look at him and you think it's Iron Man, but you realize it's not Iron Man, and it's supposed to be funny, and he's a heroine. It was just such a disaster that it ruined the entire name Sherlock Holmes for me. And now I see, because we've already besmirched the reputation, we're now going to have Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly come back and in another full form movie. This one's called Watson's Heroes, or I don't know what it's called. I genuinely have no idea.
I'll say is this. Give it one episode, Sherlock, on Netflix with Benedict Cumberbatch, and I think you'll be impressed at what they've done with it.
Okay.
I mean, this is nothing new. I'm sure the show has already been on for a few years, and I'm just catching up to it. But that is my Netflix pick of the week.
All right.
I don't have any music for that, though.
I'm currently watching the Ken Burns documentary from PBS on the Vietnam War.
Interesting. And how is that?
It is depressingly long.
Well,
there's no need to make it 20 hours.
You just have to say it's a Ken Burns documentary, and you know that it'll be too long. Now, is it documentary or documentary?
Documentary.
Documentary? I tend to say documentary.
Documentary?
And I have no idea why. It's one of those words that I just tend to slaughter a little bit.
Well, that's because you're originally from upstate New York. So, I mean, you do get a free pass in so many different areas of life. That happens to be one of them.
I appreciate that. My wife is not as kind.
Oh, she busts on you for it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because her father is also from upstate New York, so we pronounce a lot of words the same. But speaking of documentaries, have you seen the trailer for this new true crime series on Netflix, The Innocent Man?
Yes.
That looks good. So
that looks like it has a lot of potential.
That may need to be an episode. I mean, we've done The Staircase. We've ruined that for people. We ruined Making a Murderer 2 for people. So I feel this is another show that we can ruin for people moving forward.
Does it come out soon?
Let me see here.
Because it touches upon the notion of people that are initially found guilty, innocent, yet they are innocent, falsely imprisoned, and then through the use of DNA testing years later, they are finally discovered to be free, are allowed to leave their prison, and what happens in their life after.
Correct. It's the story of Ron Williamson and Dennis Fritz, two men who were accused of beating, raping, and killing a 21-year-old waitress named Deborah Sue Carter in Ada, Oklahoma in 1982, spent 10 years in prison, and then were exonerated by the Innocence Project in 1999. So that is actually hitting Netflix December 14th.
All right, so we have some time.
We have some time.
I have a question.
Yes.
A little aside. Why is it that, and I think this always only applied to white people.
Okay.
So right off the bat, you know I'm on very thin ice. But why is it that when you either commit a murder or you are a murder victim, suddenly your middle name gets included when you are referenced?
Such as?
Anytime there's a murder, Lee Harvey Oswald, you never hear anyone saying Lee Oswald shot John F. Kennedy. It's always Lee Harvey Oswald. You just said that Ron Williamson was found guilty of Deborah Sue. Like, why does she get a Deborah Sue? Why isn't she just Deborah?
Well, it is but because Oklahoma. She died. I think odds are if you're in Oklahoma, you're probably more likely a Deborah Sue than a Deborah.
Deborah Sue, who murdered you.
All right, talk to me about our drink of the week this week. You were quite victorious.
Crushed it. I crushed it this week. As many of the listeners are familiar with, Ron and I are in the northeast of the United States. Shout out to our Spanish listener. Me llamo Brian. I don't know who's listening to us in Spain, but I freaking love them. Anyway, so this week we decided we were going to put up some hot drinks. Ron put forth the hot toddy, which I believe is just whiskey, lemon juice, and honey, correct?
I'm not even 100% sure. I've heard of a hot toddy. Couldn't even tell you what was in it, so I kind of just threw it out there. And after, I think it is just kind of like it's just warm whiskey and a little bit of honey. So in hindsight, I'm happy that the Irish coffee won.
Yeah, a hot toddy literally is an ounce of bourbon and a tablespoon of honey, 2 teaspoons of lemon juice, and 1/4 cup of boiling hot water.
So it's basically like lemon water that someone decided to spike at some point.
Of course. You know what it was? At some point, somebody wasn't feeling well during during a cold winter. They were drinking some tea with some lemon and some honey in it, and then sat there and said, "Hey, my head's not getting screwy off this. Let me just put put a little whiskey in here."
I would imagine that was in the days before NyQuil.
Right, exactly. Now we just chug a bottle of NyQuil and go to sleep.
And you're good to go. So what is in an Irish coffee? Brian, talk to me, sir.
Irish whiskey, coffee.
And?
That's how I make it. What did you put in?
Well, the recipe I saw called for a little bit of brown sugar and then a little whipped heavy cream on top.
I've seen some places with the heavy cream, never heard about the brown sugar. Can I personally tell you my history with the Irish coffee?
I would love to hear your history with Irish coffee.
I went through a phase where I was putting Bailey's Irish cream in my coffee, and it became a regular Saturday and Sunday morning thing where during the week, because I was going to work, I was not drinking alcohol in the morning, but on the weekends it was, hey, I'm going to put a little cream in, a little Bailey's, a little drink in my coffee.
Just a touch.
And little touch. And one day I was out for dinner with my mom, and we had eaten and we were ordering dessert, and I was going to impress her with my sophistication. So I saw on their list of drinks, they listed the Irish coffee. So I was like, that's what I do. Irish cream and my coffee. So I ordered an Irish coffee, and they bring out it looks like a plain cup of coffee.
Okay.
So I said to the waiter, did you put the Baileys in there? And he goes, yeah, you ordered a Irish coffee. And not wanting to look like a fool in front of my mother by arguing the drink I ordered, because I did not want to come across as as somebody that was not sophisticated when it comes to drinking, I just sat there and said, all right, I'll drink this. Took a sip, and it was the most foul-tasting thing I'd ever tasted. I was not a whiskey drinker up until maybe the past, I will say, maybe 5 to 7 years of my life. Before that, I really did not have a taste for the stuff. I do now. I've definitely acquired it. But at the time, I thought, whiskeys, the scotches, the bourbons were just literally the devil's liquid. It was the devil's juice.
It is.
So I took a sip of this Irish coffee, and it was so foul. And I just I put it down because I didn't want to look bad. And now I find it absolutely freaking delicious.
So what whiskey did you put into your coffee?
Went with the Jameson,
okay.
Irish whiskey.
Traditional.
And I did a French roast.
All right. So yourself? I did, of course, something that you hate. Brewed up a little donut shop coffee for my Keurig, which I know just appalls you to no end. But
it's the only time I go bougie.
I understand. No, nothing wrong with that. And then I did a little Glengarry in here. Then the brown sugar and then the heavy cream on top. So I've actually really never had an Irish coffee. So this is going to be my very first one. So if you'll excuse me for just a moment.
All right. Drink it close to the mic so we can have an ASMR moment.
Well, goddamn, that's delicious.
There you go.
What the hell have I been missing my whole life?
Alcohol at all times?
Well, I clearly will be drunk the entire winter now. So thank you, Brian, and thank you to all those folks that voted for Drink of the Week. Mm. So speaking of voting, thank you to all that joined in on the live Bracketology special last week. Obviously, we had the first round in our Racist of the Year, and now let's go to the results.
This
week
in
Racism.
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 So we had some tight results. Brian, what were your thoughts on the first round of Racism Madness, as we're calling it?
Well, I the thing that impressed me and also made me very analytical about it is that there were some that were just complete blowouts, you know, where one side got all the votes.
Right.
There were others that literally were split right down the center,
mm-hmm.
you know, where fortunately we did not have any ties. But there were one, two, three. Ooh, excuse me. Where are my manners? We should edit that out in post.
Of course.
But I believe three, four, five. I believe that four of the eight. What is it? Half of the contests literally were determined by one vote.
Yes.
And I believe that if there's anything that speaks to the world about the power of democracy and how important it is that people go out and vote, it's the Ron and Brian's podcast 2018 Racist of the Year tournament as presented by Baltica. When Vladimir Putin meets up with his Saudi Arabian counterpart and starts plotting the downfall of all people, grab yourself a Baltica.
When you've been busy programming Facebook bots all day to mess up a foreign country's election, relax with an ice cold Baltica. That's Baltica, cold as the gulag. So let's take through. You like that one? That's one of their newer ones.
Yeah.
So let's take a run through the regions here. Check out our results. Going to the Barbecue Becky region first. That was obviously our entitled white women. Again, two close competitions, both settled by just one vote. Number one seed knocked off Permit Patty. 57% to 43%. And then Susan Westwood was having a little bit of her hands full with Teresa Lund. Teresa Lund was ahead for most of the week. Susan Westwood got some votes late, pulls it out with the win. Again, also 57% to 43%. So next round, we have Hillary Brooke going up against Susan Westwood. This, of course...
Now, for those, if you don't mind, can you remind our listeners who Susan Westwood is and who Hillary Brooke is?
I can, thankfully. I had a feeling you'd put me on the spot, so I did not delete anything. I think
we all remember Hillary Brooke is the white woman who would not let the African-American male into his own apartment building.
That's the
because
one.
Because she did not feel that he had adequately proven to her that he was a resident of their apartment building.
Correct.
Susan Westwood, as I like to call her, Susan Atwood.
Why is that?
If you can remind us who she is.
She is the one that she was harassing two African-American women in a parking lot at their apartment complex.
Hi, how are you? I'm hot. I'm beautiful. I'm 51. What are we going to talk about tonight? Being hot, being beautiful, being white, being my new wave? Do you live here?
Do you live here?
I do, actually. 1C, 8744 Fairview.
So why are you on?
We feel that we need to be here, like hanging out, like on this beautiful like place?
So that's Susan Westwood. Again, number two seed going up against number one seed Hillary Brooke. This, of course, is a rematch of their week 22 contest, which Susan Westwood won handily. I mean, it was a crushing defeat. So now we get the rematch that I think everybody was looking for in this region. Moving next to the Ted Nugent region, I mean, these were the folks that were drunk, drugged, and or crazy. Number two seed, Anne-Marie Messiano, manages to squeak by Timothy Tribus by a vote, 57% to 43%. And then Jimmy Taylor, your pick to win this entire tournament, actually had a tough competition against Roseanne, pulled it out 75% to 25%, but again, a rough showing for him in the first round. Were you surprised by this?
Ron, I believe what you're doing is actually slander right now. You're saying that it was a tough pick. He won 75% of the votes cast in that bracket. He's going to go up against Anne-Marie Messiano, who only won by one vote. She won 4-3. Jimmy Taylor won by 6-2. Then we're going to go on the opposite end of that bracket, where Hillary Brooke needed one vote to beat Allison Edel, and she's going to go up against Susan Westwood, who also won 4-3. The way I see it right now, Jimmy Taylor's going into the finals.
All right. I'm saying is Roseanne is a person that was a surprise entry into the tournament, did not have a win under her belt, only had a couple of votes in her time. But again, gave Jimmy a little bit of a contest, more so than I think anybody.
Ron.
Yes.
Ronald Ron.
Yes.
She had name recognition, and she thought the bitch was white.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I think it'll be curious to see what happens. So Jimmy Taylor is going to go up against Anne-Marie Messiano. Jumping over to our Proud Boys region, this is our Angry White Men. Number one seed, Dale Robertson, showing up huge, pitching the shutout, no votes for Lewis Klemp. Dale Robertson takes him out. And then in the bottom bracket, again, we had a tough contest with the Duncan Racist going up against Aaron Schlossberg. It was a tight match throughout the week. Duncan Racist got a few votes towards the end, finished it off 63% to 37%, setting up another one versus two matchup in the second round. Thoughts on this region? Brian!
Listen, we're talking about the upset of the year. In the NCAA men's basketball tournament, they're looking always for that Cinderella, the 16th seed that's going to take out a one. Well, this time we had our version of it when the Wrigley Field Racist
You're in the complete wrong bracket.
What are you talking about?
We were just talking Dale Robertson and Duncan Racist. I was asking about that one.
Listen, I am so obsessed over the idea that the Wrigley Field Racist was knocked out that I'm jumping the gun.
All right, let's jump up then to the David Duke region, all of our true racists. And yes, as Brian just mentioned, Wrigley Field Racist, who won in the regular contest this week for three wins, knocked out. Oh, no, that was the Duncan Racist. I'm sorry. We're screwing the whole thing up tonight, but whatever. The Wrigley Field Racist knocked out by the Hoover City School District. Brian, talk to me.
Stunned. Absolutely stunned. This is, I think, you know, a moment where the selection committee, I believe, are regretting the bracket selections that they did. I think they're sitting there saying that the Hoover City schools have no business being in the second round, or I like to call it the quarterfinals. And if I'm not correct, as a result of the downing of the Wrigley Field Racist, there is talk of an electoral college in the final round with the selection committee, as well as having some super delegates to the in the electoral college championship round. I believe that that because of this, the selection committee are trying to take the power of the vote away from the people.
Well, we'll look into that, but you know, we had this conversation during our live Bracketology special. You had gotten into a fist fight with a committee member because you felt a two ranking was too low for the Wrigley Field Racist. I thought the ranking was too high. I think Hoover City Schools proved that. You look at the other seven contests, everything played out as you would expect based on the seeding. Wrigley Field Racist just did not bring his A game, and he is out. Unlike Nathan Larson in the top half of the bracket, again, just like Dale Robertson, dominating his competition, shutting out Guy Hambry. Again, another goose egg. Nathan Larson moves on to the second round to take on Hoover City Schools. Can Hoover City Schools be our Cinderella Racist? Can they make a run deep into the tournament? They're going up against a very tough contender in Nathan Larson. Do you think they have what it takes?
I didn't think they had what it took to take out a man who went after Hispanics with racial epithets on Latin Heritage Night in the south side of Chicago.
Well,
and yet somehow Hoover City Schools still alive, still breathing in the quarterfinals, taking on Nathan Larson. I believe that what we're viewing here is that anything can happen. Can Nathan Larson sit down on his laurels, try to impregnate a woman so he can have sex with his daughter? I mean, his 8-0 showing in the first round, meaningless come the quarterfinals. He's taking on an entire city school system. I mean, he can be taken down just as well as Dale Robertson. I mean, Dale Robertson, one of my favorite candidates this year, going up against the Dunkin' Donuts racist. This anybody could come out of the Proud Boys region to say that I'm excited. I'm the Dick Vitale of racism this year.
I mean, I got to say, I mentioned this last week. I think, you know, you're big on Jimmy Taylor to win this all. I think whoever comes out of that Proud Boy region wins it all. My money's still on the Duncan racist. But in case we forgot about Dale Robertson.
Well, I'm racist as f-. I don't like her. I would kill your children first.
So not only a racist, but wanting to kill children versus Nathan Larson wanting to have sex with children. A lot of dichotomies on that side of the bracket. But we are down to our Elite Eight of Hate. And so you want to check our Facebook page. We will have the next four matches up to decide who goes to the semifinals. So visit our Facebook page. Check that out. Vote. You know, there's been some rumblings, people out there talking to me, they were a little upset, that their racist, lost. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, drumming up some votes for people that you support. If you really want one of your racists to make the championship, get your friends mobilized, get them to the Facebook page, get them to vote for your candidate.
Can I point out something that I found very strange?
You may.
Was that in some of the contests, there were a total of 8 votes, and in other contests, there were 7 votes, which meant that there were some people that didn't vote in all 8 contests.
And I think that's the weird Facebook algorithm. Not all the posts tend to show up in order. So I think there were some people that maybe didn't realize that there were 8 total matches. So when you go there this week, make sure you vote on all 4 matches. Is that better?
Well, I was going to say that I don't agree with it because I just feel that you should vote on whatever you want to vote. And if you think you're going to vote for the Hoover City school system, just don't vote.
Oh, see, you're bitter. And it's not good to be bitter. It's almost like you got a beef. But that's next with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's your beef? Is it when your favorite racist gets shown to be a fraud across the nation?
Nah, my beef of the week, insomnia.
Ooh.
But you didn't think that was coming.
I did not.
I have over the past 2 weeks, I have developed a worsening case of insomnia. To the point where, for instance, yesterday I went to bed at what I thought was a very reasonable 10:30 at night.
Okay.
Woke up wide awake at 1:15.
Hmm. Okay.
I read for about an hour. I watched TV for 2 hours. It was not until a little bit after 5 o'clock that I was able to close my eyes and go back to sleep. This has been a problem that's been going on for the past couple weeks, as I said, and it's getting worse. So the only thing that I thought that could make this better and improve it was by drinking a hot cup of coffee at 8:29 at night, because that's what you do when you have insomnia, is you drink coffee.
Have you perhaps tried some NyQuil to fall asleep with?
I have not. I'm going au naturel, just like my grooming habits. I'm doing the same thing with my sleep habits, and I'm not using any type of chemical to change it, but at some point, something's going to give.
And if I may also recommend excessive masturbation.
Tried it.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. No, there's nothing worse than when you masturbate at like 10:30 at night, and then you do it again at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's 2:30, and you're just staring at your clock.
Wow. That is rough.
At this point in my life, I can't three-peat. I'm not the Golden State Warriors.
You don't have the stamina to do that.
No, not at all.
All right. So my beef this week is with humanity, but to narrow it down a bit more, my fellow commuters on the road, we had an accident today on one of the main roads leading into Philadelphia. Did not realize it till I got onto that road. The roadside is like, hey, this road is closed, you know, in a few blocks. Y'all got to find alternate routes. And then it becomes some kind of weird death race for everybody to try and cut people off and cut lanes. At that point, we're going to be late for work. We're all going to be able to just drive slow. Just everybody needs to calm their shit and just drive and not be assholes to each other. It's the holiday season. Can't we feel the love? I don't feel the love. Do you feel the love?
Listen, you're in the Philadelphia area and you're asking to feel love? I mean, give me a break.
So there was an outpouring of love over this past week for our 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush, who passed away last week at the age of 94, I believe it was.
George Bush died?
He did. You didn't see that?
No, I missed it.
It was all over the news.
You know me. I'm a diligent consumer of current events. You know, that's a shame. I wish that the man was he was our 41st president.
He was, exactly. George, it was President Reagan's vice president, served a term as president. You know, it would be nice if there was someone out there that could do an appropriate eulogy for the former president, don't you think?
You know what? Hit me with some slow jams. Oh, yeah. Give me one. Give me two. Here we go. George Bush died, not W, so I cried. He was old, now his body's gone cold. The guy was the prez, so you know he was bold. Ignored the AIDS crisis, or so I was told. At 18, he joined the Navy, got married, knocked out six babies, became a war hero, though we all thought he would never be more than a stinking zero. Ran for public office, the House of Rep. Showed up to Congress with his big step. Was the ambassador to the UN. Even the head of the CIA. Huh? So he knew all our secrets. Just like who shot JFK. Was our VP under Reagan. Helped win the Cold War, was a Republican to his core. Yeah, George Bush was a bore. Ran for prez, beat Mike Papadakis. No wait, I meant Mike Dukakis. The man wouldn't eat his broccoli, though we didn't think that was an oddity. 1,000 points of light, yeah, that was his mantra. Even when he lied to Congress about the Contras, he invaded Iraq. A wimp, he sure wasn't lack, but he didn't go to Baghdad. That's right, George Bush was a granddad. He lost to Bill Clinton in 92. The sax man seemed to have a freaking clue. So we will miss GWHB, cause now we got a prez who was into me. And we out.
Oh, snap. My goodness, my friend, that is some impressive fire spitting right there.
Woo! What did I say?
You know what?
I just blacked out the whole thing.
I'm gonna rank this. Like, I don't know if you saw the video of Bob Dole being lifted out of his wheelchair to salute President Bush. I'm gonna put him as the number one tribute, and I'm gonna put you as a very close number two as a tribute. I think.
Thank you.
You know, you're right up there.
That means a lot to me.
And based on what I saw, I think Bob Dole is probably next. He did not look good.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. Much like the New York Post, I am starting to write slow jams for people while they're still alive. So Bob, after watching Bob Dole's crooked hand, I'm like, yes, I'm going to start working on him.
It's good to be prepared.
Of course.
So also happening today.
And another thing. Sorry. While we're still talking about George Bush.
Yes.
Are you sick of watching the dog?
I love Sully. Sully is a good boy.
Oh, give me a break.
Don't tell me you're one of these people that are hating on Sully.
No, I'm not hating on Sully. What I'm hating on is the fact that they are incapable, the media now, are so incapable of just making this a story about a man that that because he had a dog, they have to now, they're showing his dog more than they're showing his children. I saw Jeb on TV for about 4 seconds during the ceremony yesterday, but I saw the dog about every four shots. They would show George Bush, they would show Mitch McConnell, they would show Pat Ryan, and then they would show Sully, and then back to Jeb Bush, back to W, Mitch McConnell, Sully.
I mean, you would have to admit, though, that Sully is a lot more productive than Jeb is.
Absolutely. But you know what it almost is like? It's almost like they're trying to humanize George Bush.
Oh, yeah. No, they're definitely
trying to sit there and be like, hey, his dog liked him. So so he had, you know, if his dog liked him, then obviously he had some nice character traits.
I mean, you know, there definitely was an outpouring focusing more on the good side of his personality versus, you know, some of the atrocities he committed as president and vice president. But, you know, hopefully people will speak as well of us when we're gone. We can only hope.
Well, since you have 19 pets, then I would imagine that at your funeral, all 19 will be out there. By the way, speaking of which,
yes.
Were you able to find a forever home for the cat you found in your hotel?
We are still, well, and technically it was outside the hotel. I don't want people thinking animals were running around on the inside. We found this on the outside, a little kitten, about 12 weeks old. We have a potential adopter. If that falls through, we do have a backup adopter. So I anticipate him going to his forever home because we got too many animals here.
Good, good. Just making sure.
No problem. Also today, the Senate received their briefing regarding the Khashoggi murder and the involvement of Crown Prince MBS. And a couple of the senators were questioned after that. We've got a little audio here from Senator Bob Corker.
I have zero question in my mind that the Crown Prince, MBS, ordered the killing, monitored the killing, knew exactly what was happening, planned it in advance. If he was in front of a jury, he would be convicted in 30 minutes, guilty. So the question is, what do we do about that? So far, it's unfortunate, but I think they feel like this is something that's come and passed because the administration has not spoken to this in a way that it has spoken to it in a manner that really gives them immunity. And so what the message is to him and those around him is that you can go around killing journalists.
And they also spoke with Senator Lindsey Graham as well.
Secretary Pompeo stood where you're standing right now last week and said he had seen no direct evidence of the prince's involvement.
I think Secretary Pompeo and Mattis are following the lead of the president. There's not a smoking gun, there's a smoking saw. You have to be willfully blind not to come to the conclusion that this was orchestrated and organized by people under the command of MBS and that he was intricately involved in the demise of Mr. Khashoggi. Open source reports show that he had been focusing on Mr. Khashoggi for a very long time. It is zero chance, zero, that this happened in such an organized fashion without the Crown Prince. As to Pompeo and Mattis, I have great respect for them. I would imagine if they were Democratic in a Democratic administration, I would be all over them for being in the pocket of Saudi Arabia. But since I have such respect for them, I'm going to assume that they're being good soldiers, and when they look at the analysis, they're being technical in their statement, but they're not giving the assessment that I think the Senate will have.
So interesting comments from Senators Corker and Graham. Corker kind of only briefly mentioned the administration, but I mean, Lindsey Graham basically stated, you know, that Mattis and Pompeo are only saying what they're saying based off of what Donald Trump is saying about the situation.
Well, I I think that just shows how damning, I guess, the evidence is, you know, that you would have Republicans who are so unequivocally going after Pompeo that, you know, they're not even saying that, you know, it's something that's up for debate. They're not saying that they can understand, you know, while they don't agree with the assessment that that MBS was not involved in the Khashoggi killing. I mean, you've got Senate Republicans coming out of today's meeting 100% behind the idea that that you have to be lying if you were presented with the same information that they are now aware of, saying that it's possible that he was not involved. You know, having, and I hate to say this, but, you know, having watched the Vietnam documentary on PBS, you are looking at an example there where people just willingly lied to the president, to the American people, because they thought that it was the right thing to say, not whether it was the truth or not. And the lesson that I think the takeaway here is that you're not helping, and you're by telling those lies, because eventually the price needs to be paid. You know, in the case of, you had a lot of the generals that were involved in the war, Westmoreland, people that were organizing at McNamara, sitting there lying to Kennedy, lying to Lyndon Johnson about how they were winning the war when it was very clear that the statistics were showing they were not winning the war, they weren't making advances. Here you have an instance where the evidence, according to the Republicans and general consensus throughout the world, is that this was, you know, orchestrated by the Saudi Arabian government at its highest levels. Evidence all points to it. And you've got Donald Trump and his administration saying, we don't know. It's unsure. It could be one way or the other. Let's just move forward so we can continue selling arms to Saudi Arabia.
So the question is, now that you have Republican senators, high ranking Republican senators coming out and making these comments, does anything actually happen moving forward?
It's a matter of, you know, it's one of those things where I liken it to a snowball rolling down the side of a mountain. Will it, you know, it's there's not going to be one act. It's about momentum. It's about building momentum and getting the Republicans in Congress to grow some sense of courage to stand up to Trump and what he's representing.
All right. Time will tell.
You know, just the fact that you've got Republicans coming out today saying that they are now 100% sure that
MSNBC,
CNN, that this guy, that the Saudi royal family were involved in this, you know, the fact, you know, that's a step in the right direction, but it's also something that, you know, we're acting like this is groundbreaking, that, you know, a Republican is actually speaking out against Trump. I mean, it's going to take a heck of a lot more than just this to for there to be an actual change in the balance of power.
And do you think Lindsey Graham came up with the smoking saw comment himself, or someone on his staff came up with that and he was like, oh, that's good, I'm going to use that?
Oh, I think that was written before he even walked into that room.
Probably. All right. Well, we will definitely see moving forward what's happening with that. Just got a quick update here that just came across. Apparently, Robert Mueller is asking for no prison time for Michael Flynn, citing his, quote, substantial assistance in the Russia probe. Good idea or bad idea?
Depends what he's what has he said. I mean, the guy's been out of the news for well over a year. I mean, we don't even hear his name at all. So if Mueller is going to sit there and say that he should not face any penalties for lying to Congress and lying to the special investigation, then obviously he must have opened up quite a bit.
But here's my question. If Donald Trump has already shown that his defense to all this is going to be that he's going to claim that all of these people were offered sweetheart deals to make up lies against him, if someone is offered no prison time, does that give credence to what Trump's defense is, truthful or not?
You know what? It plays into his hand unless somebody has some type of evidence, whether it be an email, memos, phone calls, whatnot. But there has to be some type of evidence. And, you know, my understanding of what I've read on this is that it's highly unlikely that Mueller's ever going to go after Donald Trump.
Well, he has received, you know, all of the written answers to his questions, but everything I'm reading now states that, you know, we're in the end game of the Russia investigation.
We're in the end game.
I think. What was that?
We're in the end game now.
Jesus Christ. I think that Mueller is going to pull out action against Trump's family.
More than likely.
I think Junior is going to take a hit. I think Ivanka may take a hit. And I think that is how he's going to go after Trump, because a direct hit, a direct attack against Trump makes it much more of a you versus me. I think that if he can sit there and show that that the Trump sons lied and that Trump sons were involved and maybe colluded. No collusion.
No collusion.
All caps. No collusion. But I think that we're more likely to be able to go after the family than Trump himself.
I liked beer.
Well, we will definitely be following this story as it moves forward. Going into the realm of athletes. You know, there was an issue with Brett Favre over this past week due to his he works on this website Cameo, where apparently you can get celebrities and athletes to record different things, birthday wishes, things of that nature. I think we'd looked into that for some Ron and Brian promos, but we didn't necessarily pull the trigger. But apparently Brett Favre, who made millions of dollars in the NFL, made millions of dollars for endorsement deals, is apparently available for $500 if you want him to record something. And he recently recorded this.
Brett Favre here with a shout out to the Handsome Truth and the GDL boys. You guys are patriots in my eyes. So keep waking them up and don't let the small get you down. Keep fighting too. And don't ever forget the USS Liberty and the men and women who died on that day. God bless and take care.
So, unfortunately, that message was filled with dog whistles for white supremacists and anti-Semites. The GDL that was referenced in there refers to the Goyim Defense League, which is an insult Goyim towards the Jewish Defense League. Referring to the small apparently is a white supremacist term for Jews due to the yarmulkes they wear being a small hat. And if you know your history, Brian, I'm sure you can tell me about the USS Liberty.
USS Liberty.
So the USS Liberty in 1976, Israel fired upon the U.S. ship, the USS Liberty, mistaking it for an Egyptian vessel. They did kill some soldiers on there. They apologized afterwards, but a lot of white supremacists feel that it wasn't an accident, that it was Israel striking out against the United States. So again, it's another one of these things that they like to reference. And apparently Brett Favre is not the only one to have been taken in by these white supremacists. I was seeing Perez Hilton, Lance Bass, Soldier Boy, all have been tricked into recording these anti-Semitic and white supremacist messages through the website.
Ron, we can get Caitlyn Jenner for a grand. For a grand, you can get Caitlyn Jenner to talk about the Ron and Brian podcast. Brett Favre only charges $500.
And we know our good friend Scott likes Caitlyn Jenner.
I actually regret Caitlyn Jenner.
I mean, I don't know what he did with her, but he clearly has a history there. But, you know, we'll save up our money. Maybe we go with Caitlyn Jenner. But Brett Favre, does he need the $500 that badly?
He can't. He absolutely can't. But if you look at the list of people they have there, I mean, it's a lot of people that do need the money. if you're an Instagram comedian, I think you need the money.
Hey, if you're Perez Hilton, you need the money. If you're Lance Bass, you probably need the money. But don't you have people that will vet this? Or at the very least, if someone you don't know is sending you something to read, just type the damn thing into Google and see what comes up. Like, are people really that stupid? I mean, obviously they are, because this has happened repeated times.
Yes, and we need to get involved in this, either on the paying somebody to do this, or we need to offer our services.
Okay, well, we'll work on that as well.
We can get Brett the Hitman Hart.
I mean,
for $150.
That's actually a bargain.
Okay, hold on. What do you say this? We hire Brett Hitman Hart and give him the same copy that Brett Favre read.
Oh, he would clearly read that. There's no question in my mind.
Hey, this is Brett Hitman Hart, and I want to tell all the listeners of the Ron and Brian podcast to big ups to the GDL boys. Don't forget the USS Liberty, and hell with the Jews.
So we'll have to work on that. We should see. I mean, it'd be a little expensive, but we should submit this to as many people as possible and see how many people actually catch it and how many people actually record it.
You got Debbie Gibson for $50.
That's a bargain. Wait, so is Tiffany on there too?
No. But Kate Flannery from The Office, Ryan Lochte. He's the disgraced Olympian.
Oh, he is, yes.
Because he got arrested in Brazil. You got Chuck Liddell, UFC champion. I mean, this cameo.com website, I mean, it's got some real freaking losers.
I'd like to hear what Chuck Liddell sounds like, because he took some headshots from Tito Ortiz in their bout the other week.
Ron, for $99, you can get Chuck Liddell to say just about anything.
$99, that's a bit steep. Chuck Liddell strikes me as a $50 guy. Maybe we'll...
Maybe
we'll reach out to him and see if we can make a deal.
All right.
Also happening this week, our president was at the G20 summit in Argentina.
G20.
Embarrassing the country yet again. No one really wanted to interact with the president at times. The United States ended up being the only country participating in the G20 summit that did not sign on to help fight climate change. And then there was that very awkward situation where he was on stage with the president of Argentina and just started to aimlessly walk off the stage, and then said,
"That was great."
Said to someone, "Get me out of here." We got a very quick soundbite. Just wandering around, and somebody was like, "Mr. President," and he's like, "Get me out of here."
I liked beer.
So, again, an embarrassment on the world stage. And then he's back in the country today, tweeting this morning about tariffs, how he feels tariffs are going to make the country rich again. However, again, he does not seem to have a grasp of basic economics, forgetting that tariffs don't really get paid to the country, don't get paid to the government. Tariffs typically get paid, passed along to the American citizen. But he also branded himself as Tariff Man in his tweet, which has been trending all day. And it also got us feeling a little bit creative.
Ron and Brian, world premiere.
Trump claimed he made a deal with the Chinese. No higher tariffs for 90 days. But price is gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss common sense so much, I miss Barack. It's lonely 'cause believing facts is such a tireless fight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till we have a president that we can trust. He's not the man his voters thought he was. Oh, no, no, no. He's a tariff man. Tariff man pandering to his base all day. And And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till our country pulls its head out of its ass. He's not the man to make America great. Oh, no, no, no. He's a tariff man. Tariff man tweeting out lies both night and day. We weren't the kind of place to prison your kids. But we'll do that and worse. And you won't be free to raise them if they weren't. And all the science, it just gets ignored. It's better to trust your gut. A tariff man. Tariff man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till other countries stop laughing at us. He's not a man you trust with your daughter. Oh, no, no, no. He's a tariff man. Tariff man paying off porn stars left and right. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time that the Trump family ends up spending in jail. He's not a man to turn down email you meant. So no, no, no. He's a tariff man. Tariff man, ain't no money too dirty for him. And I think it's going to be a long, long time.
Brian, put down the lighter. Take your panties back. I can't keep these. You know that. So I'd like to thank Quincy Jones, Bernie Taupin for stopping by the compound today and helping us out with that. Brian, are we looking at number one on the charts?
I am wiping tears off my face right now.
All right.
I mean, it's... I was speechless. It literally took the words. I mean, my lips were moving. Then there was nothing coming out. That was just beautiful.
Well, thank you. You know, it was a little bit of inspiration, and so hopefully the people enjoy it. Maybe we'll throw it on iTunes. You know, I think for 99¢ a pop, and I will autograph lyric sheets. We'll put those up on the Patreon.
There might be a slight copyright issue with Harvey Taupin,
you think,
who wrote that with Elton John back in the day. So yeah, you may not be able to put it on iTunes.
All right, well, we'll see if we can get the rights to that, and we'll let everybody know. I mean, I guess they probably could just record it by playing back the podcast.
Yeah, but there's going to be better quality, I'm sure.
And yeah, I think we might do a whole album, so we'll keep people updated on that. Jumping back into New York City, the MTA announced this week that they plan on bringing out the big guns, including executives from its headquarters, to physically try and block fare beaters at subway turnstiles and on buses, based on them losing an estimated $215 million each year because of it. Brian, you are a daily rider of the New York public transit system. How do you think this is going to go?
I think it's going to go very poorly. And it's also something I'm kind of looking forward to. You know, at my local train stop, there is a swinging door that is right next to the turnstiles. And that is obviously for people walking out, people carrying packages, families with strollers, with people with bicycles, and also teenagers that don't want to pay the fare and want to walk right through the door. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a undercurrent in the MTA ridership. I've seen it. I have felt it, where it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? We're getting screwed in terms of service. They are charging us more. They are providing less. They're, you know, the trains are breaking down more frequently. They're arriving late more frequently. They are less clean. That, you know what? Let the next person in for free.
Well, that's,
you know, because it's not going to do any good. You know, if the MTA was running a surplus a couple years ago, where did that money go? It sure didn't go to new trains. It didn't go to better service. It is the MTA is a disaster. So, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, I think a lot of the ridership don't even really care.
Well, that was the interesting thing to me is, I mean, what you see most in the news is all of the issues the MTA is having, especially with the subway system. It was one of the platforms that Cynthia Nixon ran against Andrew Cuomo on as to how poorly Cuomo has managed the MTA. And rather than focusing on fixing the trains and everything else, they're actually going to pull executives out of their offices to try and shake down, you know, a kid who might be trying to avoid a $2 bus fare. I don't know. I feel the optics of this will end up being bad. And as we always say, if you're going to be videotaping, hold it horizontal to get the best video of MTA police beating up, minorities, as I'm sure they police this policy unfairly.
Yeah, I would say it'll be fun. Let's hope that there's a that it just goes crazy.
No doubt. Speaking of crazy, Brian, what do you think of a mom who names her kid ABCDE, pronounced Ab City?
No, it's Ab City.
It's Ab City, pronounced Ab City.
That is a beautiful name, Ab City Radford. Just a spriteful little kid looking to fly to visit her grandmother for Thanksgiving, and decides, obviously I'm not saying that has anything to do with the quality of her mother, but the fact that she's flying Southwest Airlines screams to me, trash.
You're not a fan of Southwest Airlines?
I've never flown Southwest Airlines. So I have no right to even say whether I'm a fan or not. I just like to trash it. Isn't that the airline where you're not allowed to reserve a seat?
True. You don't reserve a seat. It's first come, first served. What you can do is pay a little bit extra for priority boarding so you can get on the plane first.
Yeah, that is just a scam. It's a scam to provide the customers with a lower level of customer service. And this is how the scam works. What they're going to do is say, all right, we're going to charge you a little less, and everybody gets it's a free for all for seats. Nobody can fight it, and people are going to flock to it because it's got a lower price.
Right, and you don't pay bag fees either.
Correct. Yeah, no. It's all great. It's great. Great. First off, once that goes for a little bit and people see the chaos that happens, then Southwest comes in and goes, hey, you know what you can do? For $20 more, you can buy preferred boarding status.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Now suddenly everybody's going to buy a preferred boarding status. So now everyone's going to be in Group A and everyone's going to fight the same way they did. Then they're going to have gold level boarding status. Then they're going to be second class preferred. Then it's going to be the third class people who just aren't paying anything above. Then they're going to introduce platinum. And before you know it, you're going to be responsible for flying your own plane.
I don't know. My favorite part of boarding a Southwest flight is, you know, not only do you get like a letter corral to go in, but it's numbered too. So you have to, you know, you actually have to talk to people and be like, oh, are you, I'm B11. Are you B10? Oh, you're B13. Okay, so I'm ahead of you. And in this guy, oh, you're B12, or you're behind me, but you're ahead of this person. And oh, what's that? You're B10. Oh, okay, well, B10, you're ahead of me, and the rest of us are behind you.
So you have to line up in order of your ticket?
Oh, yeah. Well, in order, you do get, like, as you check in, you get a letter and a number, and you're supposed to line up in the order of your corral number, as I like to call it.
Listen, that is insane. I mean, anybody that flies knows no one's going to behave that way.
I don't know. I'm a fan. I can't complain. But you're getting away from the main topic, which is a child named Ab City.
Literally, her first name is the letter A, the letter B, followed by the letter C, the letter D, and the letter E. So we had this woman who was boarding a Southwest Air with her daughter, who she pronounces the name Ab City, and the Southwest Air agent at the gate when looking at the boarding pass made this woman wait. Tracy Redford was her name. She made Tracy Redford and her daughter Absidy wait while they were waiting in a Orange County airport heading towards El Paso, Texas. That says something right there. And the woman paused, took out her phone, took a picture of Absidy's boarding pass, and proceeded to upload it to social media while the mother is standing right in front of her. That's just a lousy thing to do. I mean, the decency is that you sit there and you say, can you hold on a second? And you pretend to look at your phone while you take the picture. Then once the woman is out of sight, that's when you blow up your phone, posting it on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, MySpace, Friendster, Napster.
All of the above. Obviously, if she posted it to Facebook, it went viral. But the funny thing is that the internet actually didn't seem to have an issue with Southwest Airlines and really went all in on commenting on the mother and her choice of names. Some of my favorite at BHL advisors said, pretty sure this was parent shaming and seems to be perfectly applied. At Tato67 said, how ironic that she is also named after the entire row of seats. That was a good one.
that's my favorite.
And at Kate is awesome. So let's name our kid a ridiculous name like ABCDE and then pronounce it basically like obesity, but expect no backlash. Nope, the parents clearly to blame here for doing that to their child. And then many exercise references for Ab City. And people calling dibs on naming their kid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God bless you, internet.
You know what? Sometimes the internet makes me very happy. Sometimes it just makes me very happy.
All right. So I feel we've covered a lot this week, my friend. Anything additional you wanted to hit on? I think we hit all of our topics. You slow jammed the hell out of the 41st president, and we released our soon to be number one single.
And you took me into the stars and brought me back and taught me a little about international trade with your jam, Tariff Man.
I almost did it William Shatner style, but it's very difficult. Maybe I'll do a remix. You got to do a remix. That's the thing these
days.
You got
to do a remix. Do it Shatner style.
So it'll be a B-side.
All right. We'll do it.
There are a ton of kids out there wondering what a B-side is. So Google it. You'll figure it out. All right, Brian, anything else this week, sir?
No, I love you, and I look forward to doing this again.
All right.
Just want to let people know that this podcast, we are recording it Tuesday night, December 4th. It will be live within the next, I would say, 3 to 5 hours. So when people wake up on December 5th, there will be the podcast out. And we will have round two, or as I like to call it, the quarterfinals of the Baltica Presents the Ron and Brian Podcast 2018 Racist of the Year Tournament. We're up to the quarterfinal rounds, people. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 contests this week. Go out there. Make sure you go to Facebook. Find our page, Ron and Brian. Vote. And vote often. Vote many times. If you have to put on a mustache and change your clothes and vote again under a different account, do it.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I love you too, sir. Get yourself some sleep. We're going to roll out of here. Check out the Facebook page. Vote for Racist of the Year. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Instagram. Subscribe and share.